This is a Gold Coast CPD audio briefing on enhanced recovery after joint replacement surgery from a seminar on Saturday, the 6th of June, 2026. About 61 minutes on Otter. It is clinic education, not personal medical advice. Two orthopedic surgeons spoke about hip and knee replacement recovery. First names heard in the recording as Rick and Price. Surnames were not clearly confirmed in Otter, so we do not invent them. They practice at Gold Coast Private and also discussed public work at the University Hospital and Robina. They say the big change in joint replacement is not only what happens in theatre, it is what happens afterwards. Historically, patients woke from a long general anaesthetic, had drains and catheters, sat in bed on morphine, got constipated and drowsy, and remembered the first days as awful, even when the joint later worked well. Why push change now? Knees still have a dissatisfaction problem, roughly 80 to 85% satisfied, about 10% don't like it, and a smaller group with stiffness, infection, or worse pain. Patients are younger and still working. And healthcare cost for joint replacement keeps rising, so better recovery with equal or better outcomes matters. Enhanced recovery is not kicking people out of hospital early. It is fixing every barrier that keeps people in bed. Barriers they listed: poor mobility, nausea and vomiting, long-acting spinals that stop people moving their feet, and heavy opioid use. Practical building blocks from the talk. Short-acting spinals that wear off in about 90 to 120 minutes. Many patients move their feet before leaving recovery and walk on the ward within 1 to 2 hours. Urinary catheters largely dropped. Morphine in the spinal largely abandoned, which cut urinary retention. High-dose dexamethasone in theater for nausea and inflammation. Day one white cells can look high. They say infection fear has been dispelled in this context. Many go home on a short steroid course for 3 or 4 days, unless type 1 or insulin-dependent diabetes. In Q&A, they said a typical home dose was 4 milligrams twice daily for 4 days. Always check the discharge letter. Pain plan, periarticular local anesthetic and nerve blocks, so the first 12 hours after the spinal wears off are often comfortable. On the ward they use oral tablets only, no PCA, no IV or subcut opioids, so home feels like hospital. Less opioid means less nausea, which means more walking. They sit patients out for meals the day of surgery, get them into their own clothes, and treat them as people recovering from a joint, not as sick patients. Early walking is also their main VTE message. Historical clot rates reflected bed rest. Mobilizers do far better. They still anticoagulate in Australian practice. Routine patients often go home on low-dose aspirin for about a month, with more aggressive plans for higher-risk patients. Around the world, length of stay has fallen because redness arrives earlier. They cited United States averages around 1.3 to 1.7 days, versus Australia around 5.4. Scandinavia and COVID-era ambulatory pathways accelerated the shift. The speakers toured United States day centers and found the operation was not radically different. The difference was consistent messaging, nurse navigators who call patients early after discharge, and ruthless attention to nausea, pain, and early walking. At Gold Coast Private, they report about 1.5 days average length of stay for their hip and knee cohort, with about 60 to 65% home the next day, and some carefully selected same-day discharges. Follow-up moved to 2 weeks, when patients look more like the old 6-week review, for wound check, opioid wean, and encouragement. Robotics is one theatre tool, not the whole story. Gold Coast Private was an early robotic centre. They link CT-planned robotics to less soft tissue damage, lower inflammatory response, and better early scores, and they cite registry signals of lower revision when placement is better. Their analogy, MacBook versus phone GPS, same destination, more reproducible journey. On inpatient rehab, they cited roughly 5% in the United States versus about 40% in Australia, and much higher in parts of northern Sydney. Their line for GPS, rehab, is a fancy word for moving. Making a cup of tea at home is real rehab. Many patients do better at home. Selected social or comorbid patients still need inpatient support. Safety, Danish and Western Health Victoria data were used to argue readmissions and complications do not rise and can fall when enhanced recovery is applied to everyone, not only the fittest. Frail patients may go home on day 4 instead of day 7. One unexpected benefit, fewer opioid script requests than they feared. For GPS, you are part of the messaging. Please do not default to, you must stay 5 days, then 2 weeks of inpatient rehab, if the surgeon's pathway is early home and walking. Red swollen knees are often expected early, escalate if unsure, they want you to call. They see patients at 2 weeks and can review wound photos remotely, hoping to reduce, not increase, community burden. Some patients still need an early opioid top-up at about 1 week. Others take almost none. Take-homes, fix nausea, pain, long spinals, tubes, and bed rest, length of stay falls because redness moves left. Align GP messaging with the surgeon. Home can be the best rehab for many. Robotics helps theater, but the pathway is the package. Australian funding and rehab culture explain why we still lag overseas averages. Thank you for listening. Full write-up with diagrams at enhancedrecovery.drcoda.com.